when we turn on the TV or open up the newspaper, do we often feel like Habakkuk in the first reading? Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. In fact, that last phrase, strife and clamorous discord, almost sounds like we're talking about our elected officials right now, our political system. If you've been watching any of the coverage, like on C-SPAN, of the government shutdown, clamorous discord sounds about what it is. You know, you hear both sides refusing to compromise. They get up there and they give their speeches, and they hit their talking points. And of course, each party has its list of talking points, and every single member of each party gives up and gives each of their talking points, almost in the same exact order, but they're not listening to each other. They're talking at each other. They're talking to their constituents, is more what it is. Look at why you should re-elect me. But they're not listening to each other. Then you turn on the television debate shows, and I use the term debate loosely. They're more like arguments where they're yelling at each other. Again, not listening. Instead, they're trying to score points against the other person, and basically saying, I must be right, therefore those who disagree with me are just a bunch of pinheads. And that's how they all are. There's this constant argument against each other, but they're not listening. There's strife and clamorous discord. We also hear about violence and destruction when we turn on the TV or open the newspaper. Of course, there are wars throughout the world. There are always wars throughout the world. Civil wars, wars against other nations over things like lands or grievances or just to be spiteful. It seems like some wars are started just because one country wants to spite the other country. In our country, we hear about violence in cities, gang warfare, murder, rape, and so on. You know, we hear about violence against the most vulnerable in our nation, violence against the weakest. And worst of all, we have in our country legalized violence against the unborn, abortion. We have violence against the most vulnerable and the most innocent, the unborn in the womb. And all of this is due to a lack of respect of human life. There is no respect of human life in our nation anymore. We believe, we know as Catholics, as Christians, that human life is precious, that it is a gift from God, and that each and every one of us, every human individual, is beloved by God. And for that reason alone should be respected. Human life deserves to be respected as the beautiful gift from God that it is. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and thus we are all human life. Each and every individual is worthy of respect. And sadly, we live in a country that has forgotten that, that has forgotten that human life is worthy of respect. Instead, it views humans as either wanted or unwanted, desirable or undesirable. If that human being is wanted and desirable, then of course he or she will get the full protection of the law, as it should be. However, if that human being is viewed as unwanted or undesirable, then there is no longer the protection of the law. Instead, those who are unwanted and undesirable are more and more increasingly being seen as allowed to be killed. They can be gotten out of our way. Abortion, euthanasia, and so on. Those who are unwanted or undesirable are seen as a burden on society and not a blessing to all of humanity. When we look at this, when we hear about this in our nation and in our world, we might become frustrated. We might be like Habakkuk, who cried out, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen." Or we might have the opposite reaction, where we're tempted to give up. We throw up our hands and say, "It's not my problem. And even if it was, what could I do about it?" We need to avoid that temptation. As Christians, we must be concerned about this lack of respect of human life. And we need to realize that it is our problem and that we should not give up. But instead, we need to fight for the respect of all human life, from conception to natural death. We need to rise up in prayer and in action, both prayer and work, to first of all protect the vulnerable, to protect those who are most at risk from this violence and strife. We need to rise up in prayer and action and demand that our elected officials have more concern for the protection of human life than they do for their political standing, than they do for their political party and their position within that party, and than they do for their own personal pride. We need to stand up in prayer and action so that laws and hearts may be changed to defend the life of the unwanted and the undesirable. So in other words, we need to pray and work that abortion and euthanasia are ended in this nation forever, that they will never be a scourge on this nation again. And we need to pray and work to promote real choices that defend and respect human life instead of the false choices we have now which end that human life, that lead to death. And most importantly of all, we need to rise up in prayer that the love of God will come upon all humanity, each and every individual, that we will love each other as deeply and as strongly as God loves each and every one of us. Then we will respect human life. Because we are called as Christians to stand up for the respect of human life and to do so with courage, with great courage, even if we feel, as our Lord says in the parable, that we have the faith the size of a mustard seed.